Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes 9. Have you ever tried to make sense of the providence of God in your life? I was going to tell you, if you did, you shouldn't. As chapter 9 begins, Solomon continues in his consideration of God's providence from chapter 8. In the lives here, in chapter 9 and verse 1, in the lives of the righteous and the wise. The righteous and the wise. Now, by the way, I believe the righteous and the wise, they're the same. He's speaking of one. He's speaking of those that are believers. He says in verse 1, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this." I'm going to stop right there for a moment. Let's pray. Lord, we ask for your blessings. Please help us, Father, to understand the Word of God, divinely inspired, O Lord, written by Solomon, and yet inspired by the Spirit of God. And so I pray that you would open it to us. Help us, Lord. We pray and ask for your help tonight. Father, we rejoice of the things that have happened in this past week. We rejoice over George and Bryce, Lord. We pray for them. Lord, I rejoice that I was able to speak with Mel and Karen and Amy and Tommy yesterday night. We rejoice, Heavenly Father, that Miss Weed is okay. We pray that you'd heal her, Lord. We thank you for the answer regarding Jamie, Lord. We praise you for that. We know that that's not a bad thing. Father, you have made your decision, Father, and we bow to your will willingly and gladly. And now, Lord, we ask that you'd bless, Father, our hearing. May we receive the word of God into good ground, into the good ground of our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the passage opens. Solomon says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this." So he's saying, I believe, I considered all of this in my heart so I could declare all of what I discovered. That's what Solomon's saying here. And in turn, Solomon's desire was to give us the answers to the questions of life for God's people in a fallen world. You ever just want the answers? So Solomon says, "I considered all of this in my heart." So we're going to look at what is all of this. "I considered all of this in my heart so I could declare all of what I discovered." Because we know Paul was applying his heart by wisdom to know why things happen in this life. Why does God do certain things by his providence, specifically in this last portion of chapter 8 and now into chapter 9? Why do certain things happen in our lives the way that they happen as children of God? You ever think about that? Why do things often seem, and we talked about this a little bit, why do things often seem upside down and backwards for the children of God? Listen, there's folks out there that will tell you, listen, come to Christ and everything's going to be okay. It's going to be smooth sailing. Well, listen, you will inherit eternal life. And in that respect, yes, you've been saved from your sins. You're no longer under the dominion and the power of sins. But tell me, pray tell, about the life of Job, who was a believer. So why do things often seem upside down and backwards? Why do bad things happen to good people? Or let me use the righteous. Why do difficult things happen to the righteous? Why is that? Should I be even asking why? And why do seemingly good things happen to the wicked? We see the wicked prospering. We see them being prolonged. We see them, there are no bands in their death. You read Psalm 73, you read the first part. The psalmist he's looking at that and he's saying, "Why, Lord? Have I cleansed my hands in vain?" And so we see that this was a battle of some of the saints of old. So when Solomon wrote of considering all of this in my heart, he was writing about his understanding of the providence of God in the lives of all of humanity, but here specifically in the lives of God's people, the righteous and the wise. Now, in verse 2, he talks about all the wicked, and we know that in chapter 8, he talks about the wicked and the righteous. So we see and we behold, as Solomon did in his day, things happening to God's people the way we think they should be happening to the wicked. I mean, isn't that right? Listen, that's what Job's friends said to him. They looked at his life, and I was talking to a preacher about this last week at the conference. When you look at Job's life and you see all of what happened, it would kind of press you to maybe ask the question. But we know that Eliphaz and Zophar and Bildad, they put Job in the crosshairs. And they said, this wouldn't be happening to you if you were a Christian. If you were righteous, this doesn't happen to the righteous. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Look at 8:16 of Ecclesiastes. Go back up there. Because when he says for all of this, he's talking about that which preceded this. In verse 14, Solomon says, there is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. You remember that? We read that. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said, this is also vanity. Verse 15, he says, then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. So understand here, even with all of Solomon's wisdom, there were things that he beheld under the sun in the lives of humanity, in the lives of both the righteous and the wicked. But in verse 1, he's talking about the righteous, that he did not and could not understand. He could not put his finger on it. Things that he would never know why they happened the way they happened. Verse 16 of chapter 8. Solomon says, when I apply my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. And I think he's talking about he lost sleep trying to figure this out. And then he says, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. And so he can't know it, he can't find it. Look at chapter 3 and verse 11. Back up to chapter 3 and verse 11 of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon, as we'll see, has said this already. Chapter 3 and verse 11. We just sang it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. You can't find it out. And then chapter 7 and verse 23. Chapter 7 and verse 23. Chapter 7, Solomon says, all this have I proved by wisdom. I said, I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which is far off and exceeding deep, who can find it out? Who can find it out, Solomon's saying. Listen, as William Cowper just said in the hymn, and listen to the words. I know you sang them, but listen to them not being sung, but quoted. William Cowper said, God makes... It's of course, it's the hymn, God Moves in a Mysterious Way. But he says, judge not the Lord by, and I add, your feeble sense. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense. You know what feeble sense is? We try and make sense out of the providence of God in our lives. Our sense is feeble. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. For behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. Listen, we must always know that we are in the hand of God, child of God. And we're going to see that in a moment. And listen, these are in reality. Now we're back to chapter 9 and verse 1. Listen, look at 9:1b, the second part. We'll read the whole thing. He says, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." In the hand of God. Every providence in your life, we've talked about this, was specifically designed for you, for your good. And beloved, you're in the hand of God. So Solomon says, "I considered all of this in my heart so that I could declare all of what I considered, so I could give you the answers to the questions of life in a fallen world. But even with all of my wisdom, there are so many things in God's providence that I do not understand," Solomon said. My wisdom can't even touch it, the providence of God. "But what I can declare unto you," Solomon says, "is that very thing, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." Solomon says, "I do know that." Listen, you won't be able to make heads or tails of some of the things that happen in your life as a child of God. And don't try and figure it out. Trust him for his grace. For behind a frowning providence or the dark clouds of providence, there's a silver lining. His smiling face is there. Listen, is there any greater comfort given to us as children of God than this, that we are in God's hand? Consider then that when Job lost everything that he possessed, to include his children that were killed, and when his wife said, "Curse God and die," and when he was afflicted with boils and blisters all over his body, and on top of that, his three friends accused him of sin. Yet all the while, that entire time, Job was safe in the hands of God. In the hand of God. Think of Jonah when he was in the whale's belly, in the deep, unfathomable darkness at the bottom of the ocean, where no one could see him. Can you imagine that? And Job prayed from the belly of the whale, we know. Jonah tells us that. And even there, Jonah might have been rebellious and in a bad way, but you know what? He was God's child, and he was in the hand of God. God knew exactly where he was, and he was in God's hand, safe in God's hand. Peter and the rest of the apostles were in that boat with the tempest and the great storm on the sea. And yet, the entire time, they were in the hand of God. One time, Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping, and they woke him up and accused him of not caring. We know that what they should have done, right? They should have grabbed their pillow and went and laid next to him and took a nap with him. It teaches us what we should be. Jesus was in the boat the whole time. The Lord was there. And so, beloved, in the storm of your life, don't try and figure it out. God is there. He's got you in his hand. Here's the toughest one of all. Herod killed the apostle James with the sword, Acts chapter 12. God didn't stop Herod's sword. James was killed. But even in that, that one son of thunder was safe in the hands of God. And so listen, things will happen. And you'd say, why would you silence? Why would James be killed? Listen, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Ecclesiastes 8:12. I like this as well. You should still be right there. Listen, though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, don't concentrate on him. He says, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. It says, it shall be well. Verse 13, but it shall not be well with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. Listen, when Jacob, who was bereaved and full of sorrow for many years because of the loss of Joseph, and now after the famine had gone on for 13 years and he had been long bereaved of Joseph. Now he was being faced with losing both Simeon and Benjamin and found himself in great distress. You remember the story. It's Genesis 42. We know that is when he cried, "All these things are against me." Remember that. But in truth, in God's providence, all these things were working together for good for Jacob, who loved God, who was called according to God's purposes. So listen, sometimes in a dark providence, we'll say, "All these things are against me." But the truth is, all these things are working together for your good. Don't ever forget, child of God, that whatever comes to pass in your life, as senseless and as chaotic as things may seem, never forget that you are in the hand of God from which you cannot be plucked. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." Beloved, we are safe in the hands of God, come what may. It does not matter. It does not matter. And I'm thinking to myself right now in my own heart, I need to listen to my preaching. Listen, it does not matter, beloved. So back to Ecclesiastes 9:1, "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God." And then he says, "No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them." So none of us can nor must we conclude God's love or hatred toward us personally as children of God in the most difficult providences. Sometimes we think, "Man, this is all going on. God's mad at me. I've done something wrong." No, beloved. Solomon says here, "No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them in the most difficult providences of life." It's what God has assigned you. God loves you. He says, the Bible says in John 13, 1, it says, "Having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Listen, he loves you, child of God, with an everlasting love. And that never wanes by the providence that comes into your life. So none of us, beloved, must ever conclude because of a difficult, dark providence that God is not pleased with us. Our comfort is to be in what God has revealed to us in his faithful truths and promises in his word. I think of Psalm 23:6. The psalmist says to the saint, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Yes, in the belly of the whale. Yes, in the storm on the sea. Yes, if I'm facing death for the testimony of Christ. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever," the scripture says. Romans 8, turn there, 8:35. Romans 8:35. This is such a rich portion of the book of Ecclesiastes. I'm so thankful to have been brought to it. It's been so instructional and helpful to me. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35, Paul says, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" You might say, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Or persecution? Or famine? Or nakedness? Or peril? Or sword? That's some pretty bad stuff. "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, what things? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword, and more. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor things present providences, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What a blessing that is. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 in verse 8. Now, this is talking about Paul's trials as an apostle, but beloved, I think we can make this application to us in 2 Corinthians 4:8. Paul says here, he as an apostle in the ministry, and he talks about the servants of Christ, but listen to this, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Listen, that's the, if you want to know why things happen in your life that are difficult, here's why. That the life of Jesus might be made manifest in you. Remember, you're to be God's spiritual magnifying glass. When you look through a magnifying glass, whatever's on the other side, the object, it gets very big. And so when people look at our lives, they're not to see us. We're to get small, but God should get very, very big. Christ should. He says, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. We have the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that they were in the ministry, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, temporary, and transient, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So, beloved, we must never, as children of God, think to ourselves in our own reasoning of God that he is either pleased with us or not pleased with us by what we see coming to pass in the circumstances and happenings of our lives. But we are to fix ourselves upon Christ and believe what is written for us in the Holy Scriptures, and also to never forget what we learned a few weeks ago. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Remember, child of God, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. We must always remember that. And so let's finish with verse 2, Ecclesiastes 9:2. Let's just look there. Go back, we'll read 1 and 2. And this is really a rich section of this book. So Solomon says, for all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. And here, all things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and to the clean, to the unclean, and to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, as he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. So Solomon here says, all things come alike to all. Think about this example. Wicked Ahab was slain in battle. Remember that? Remember, he disguised himself and he told Jehoshaphat to get on the horse. Remember, Jehoshaphat went and gathered with Israel's king to fight the battle. And Ahab said, I'll disguise myself as a soldier. And a soldier in the enemy's camp shot an arrow, it says, at a venture. He just shot. Well, God took that arrow and put it right between the harnesses and killed Ahab. So all things come alike to all. You say, yeah, Ahab was a wicked king. Josiah did the same thing. Josiah was a good king. Josiah disguised himself in the battle going up against Pharaoh Necho of Egypt. Same thing happened. He was killed in the battle. Josiah was a good king. Listen, the righteous are going to get sick, and so are the wicked going to get sick. The righteous are going to have tough times. So are the wicked going to have tough times. The difference in the righteous and the wicked is the righteous have a God and they're in the hand of God and not the wicked. But look at 9-11. We'll close right here. 9-11. You know, the example of Josiah and Ahab, I also think of Job and Abraham. They were both rich men and they were both prosperous men, but so was Nabal and so was Haman. Two rich righteous men, two rich wicked men. So all things come alike to all. Chapter 9 and verse 11. Look there. Solomon says, and we didn't get here yet, but I think this verse is a good place to finish. He said, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Everyone's life in the entire world is under the government and control of God. Every single life, everyone's life comes and goes precisely when God says it will. Precisely. And so, beloved, remember, God makes everything beautiful in his time. Remember, in God's providence, if you're in a difficult providence and it seems like the dark clouds of the frowns of God are upon you, remember that God is smiling. He loves you, and he has you in his hands. Amen. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father, we ask for your blessings. We thank you for this word. I thank you for it, Lord. It's encouraging and strengthening to me. Father, I pray that, Lord, you would help us to keep our hearts and our minds, our faith fixed upon Christ. And Father, that we would be strengthened in your word, that we would be built up upon our most holy faith. And that, Father, we would not believe that you're angry at us or you love us or you hate us because of something that's going on in our lives, but that we may know, oh God, that we are in your hand. We thank you so much for this encouraging word. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for these precious souls. We ask for your blessing as we go to our homes. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.